And whenever you're ready, you can start sharing your screen.
All righty, give me just one second here and let's see what we can get here. All right, that should be PowerPoint there.
Perfect.
All right, awesome. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Brian Klindworth and I am with Alpha Shark Trading. And today I'm going to talk about a few things about us and some of the products that I've developed myself during the 2 years I've been with Alpha Shark Trading and how we use them with options. We have a options focus, very, very, very focused options strategies. First, our disclaimer, day trading, short-term trading, options trading, swaps, futures tradings are extremely risky undertakings, generally not appropriate for someone with limited capital, little or no trading experience, and or a low tolerance for risk. Never execute a trade unless you can afford to and are prepared to lose the entire investment. All trading operations involve serious risk and you can lose your entire investment. No trades are recommendations or advice. And we cannot be sued for losses of capital. All trades are for educational purposes only. Contact your broker or RIA for execution, margin, and other capital requirements. Everyone watching this presentation adheres to all disclaimers on optionhacker.com and alphashark.com. So about me, I'm Brian Klindworth. I'm 40. I live in South Jersey, the Philadelphia suburbs. I have a bachelor's in economics from UNC Chapel Hill. Started training to trade in 2013 under a registered investment advisor as a mentor who gave me access to professional level educational materials. And I worked under him for several years, worked transitioned into web development for him. He needed that work done. And then starting in very, very end of 2017, about this time, 2017, transitioned to coding indicators with Alpha Shark and then became one of the moderators of our live trading room. I have the 12:30 p.m. to 2 o'clock p.m. slot, and I am a live cash options account trader. The other thing I forgot to mention that we're going to go over is a trading plan. And so the first part of this is going to be the trading plan that got me personally the traction to where I got repetition after repetition after repetition with a small options account to where I started to feel comfortable and started to learn to deal with the emotional aspects of trading. And so I felt that was really worthwhile. This is something that has evolved a little bit over time, but is pretty much the exact one that I started with a couple of years ago. I'm going to talk a little bit about our strategy. The first one is unusual option activity in the live trading room. And then the technical analysis strategies that I've developed and distributed with Alpha Shark. And then I'll be happy to take any questions. And just to give you a heads up, we do develop on this level for thinkorswim. And there's several reasons for that. I'll go over that later. And then I'll be happy to take questions at the end. All right. So the first part of a trading plan and the first step every day really is what is our macro environment? What is the news? What might become news. For example, there are multiple things that could happen at any point in time during the day. Announcements regarding the China trade situation in particular is kind of sort of lurking out there. The situation with news, I am happy to say, it seems like in the last month or so has really calmed down. And so we don't see as many random 11:35 in the afternoon big swings in sentiment. Remember, there are news algos out there that are instantaneous on headlines and respond faster than any human can. That is part of the risk of this. And so we cannot explicitly compensate for that, but we want to always be aware of that. What's going on with the Fed, right? So is the Fed, are we currently speculating on what future interest rates are going to do? Are we currently speculating on liquidity? Right now, a story that does not get talked about much in mainstream news environments is the overnight repo market, for example, and the debt markets. And those are broader offsets for the equities market in general. And then sort of the last thing, my sit down, get familiar with what I'm dealing with to make better decisions about particular symbols that I might want to get involved in are sectors. So we have the spiders, it depends on how detailed you want to go, between 9 and 14 or so. Symbols HYG, and then future symbols GC and CL. We want to see what's going on with gold, and we want to see what's going on with oil. All of those can affect particular names. So if, for example, oil is not performing well, but the broader market is, then that may guide us a way to check the energy spider. And maybe if I see an unusual signal on energy, I might take a pass on it in favor of something else. The next thing that I do and I teach, this is geared towards beginning traders, is identify the prevailing trend on a given symbol or the broader market. You want to see that as well. And when I get into Thinkorswim, I'll actually go through a couple of examples. You want to look for recent price levels, most recent trend reversal levels, day highs, day lows. And then really the only manual technical analysis that I do, I employ the strategies we've developed to automate a lot of this, is I try to identify triangles and I just keep it at that. And I try to estimate when price action will get to the corner of the triangle. And once we see that, that's where resistance and support kind of force an inflection. There are other approaches to this, like a pop out of the box, et cetera, that are certainly valid, but this is my personal preference. So for example, here's a couple of, this was taken off the same chart on the same day at different times in the day. So the top one is a clean trend. The second one is very, very dirty. The good news is that the indicator sets that we developed in the strategies, because really each indicator set is its own strategy, we've developed ways to deal with this and identify it. So we can be sure that we're in a trending situation or in one where there may still be a trend, but it might be ugly or just pure chop. All right, so let's start working with some of the more detailed logic that we want to incorporate in our decision-making about what particular symbols we might want to get involved in options trades on. Implied volatility in options matters. And it's a small number. It's always a small number for brand new option traders. This is a little bit challenging. Implied volatility is best looked at on a relative basis. So it's expressed as a percentage, but the changes on a relative basis, percents of percents, are what matters. So for implied volatility, if we go from like a 0.12 on SPY to a 0.16, that doesn't seem like a major change, but that is a 30% change in that number, right? And that is a huge change in the implied volatility. And so what market makers do is, as that IV gets higher, options get more expensive overall, generally speaking. And this applies to particular names as well. When that happens, it lowers our potential profit on a percent basis. And that profit potential is the only thing we're interested in. In our trading plan, what I do then is I compensate for this. So I adjust my profit taking percentages down or up based on what IV is doing in the market overall. OCO, one cancels others orders, or bracket orders, or what they called, can be valuable here, because when you enter your trade on an option, if your platform permits it, you can then put in a profit-taking automatic order and a stop-loss automatic order. And this really helps with discipline. I personally, when I was developing this trading plan, relied on myself to do it manually, to develop that muscle memory that when we're up 20, it's time to take it and go. When we're down 20, it's time to go ahead and leave it and try another trade. But for those that want to, and their platform allows it, those OCO, one cancels other orders, or bracket orders, can be very, very useful. And there's a variety of a little bit more complex order types beyond just your simple market limit, stop limit. And each platform is a little bit different. So I don't go into a ton of detail here, but most offer at least one type of an OCO order. Risk and reward probabilities. So if you're on a strategy with a 70% win probability based on backtesting, which we do backtest all of these indicators, you can examine the stop loss profit target relationship and adjust as needed. A one-to-one risk reward still yields a profitable expected value. And in particular, on shorter term trades, what I have found when I got started was the one-to-one allowed me to have the space to not get just immediately stopped out of something, but also not to let something become a nightmare for the position as well. The focus here is our account balance at the end of the day. That's what everything is about, is that account balance. So the theory behind all this, it's a statistical approach. Each time I enter a position, I'm putting forward a hypothesis. Profitability is the test. If it doesn't work, it's rejected and it's time to begin anew. And so just over and over, it becomes sort of a loop throughout each trade in the day. This formula is incredibly important. Money management is the best risk management. And this formula, and if you want to screen cap this, this is basically, if you sit down in Finance 101, you're going to learn this formula probably on day two. You'll get your syllabus, et cetera, on day one. Day two, you're going to learn this formula. This is a compound interest rate formula, and it's normally used in a banking analysis framework. However, we need to remember that we have something really, really powerful in our brokerage accounts. We can compound gains or losses every trading day on a daily basis. That is incredibly huge. And so what this results in when you run the math here is that a 1% per day gain on an account, 1% per day on every trading day,
okay,
because of that compounding so frequently, yields amazing annual returns. And so what that instructs me to do is to really, really narrow down what I am looking for in terms of gains or when to stop trading, whether it's to the upside or to the downside, to a very small number, 1% of my account balance. So for example, I closed it's what I call a flip trade. A position I opened on Friday afternoon, or early, I would say very, very early Friday afternoon, on Snap, that I took based on unusual option activity, which we'll get to in a minute. I closed it today for the equivalent of 4% of my account. So I was done. I did not open any other trades because I booked 4% of my account value. And so that is almost what that's towards this goal. That's 3 or 4 days worth of gains that allow that compounding to work. And when I talk about amazing returns, we're talking like 1100% when you run it through this formula at 1% gain per day. And so with the leverage that we're dealing with options, I cannot stress enough how important it was in my development as a trader to narrow those expectations way, way down in order to keep my volatility and my P&L swings managed. All right, so here's the plan. I tried to break it down into something very, very simple. Only risk 2% or less of the account on any one single trade. Stop losses, and this is a starting point for normal IV. On my day trades or my scalp, my day trades, I tend to keep very, very short. The reason being is that if the option is not going to start moving my way pretty quickly, then it's probably not going to if I'm looking for a day trade or a scalp basis. So it's 30% gains, 30 minutes, 30%, 30 minutes. Profit targets. You can use technical analysis, support and resistance, or strategy signals to identify where to take profits, or alternatively, these percentages started working better for me, being very rigid on them. When IV starts to get high, and we're talking about an IV on SPY options here, I don't know if y'all heard that, but sorry, that's the bell. The IV on SPY options starts to get high. We're talking 15 or so percent. Then I narrow this all the way down to 15%. I cut my expectations down dramatically because of the increase in volatility. For swing trades, I look for 30 to 50% depending on risk tolerance and where things are in technical analysis. And when I started, and this was one of the best things I ever did for myself, was to start to pick consistent delta options. No matter what, I looked for an option, whether I was doing a scalp, a swing trade, a flip, it didn't matter. I always tried to get as close to delta 50 as I could. The reason for that is that it allowed me to work with options that had the same speed and volatility on the profit and loss. And so I didn't find myself surprised by the P&L accumulating or the losses accumulating too quickly, but they were still moving quick enough that I could get in and out of these trades as quickly as I could. If I'm now for day trades or scalps in particular, 0 days are absolutely fine because I don't intend to hold them for very long. That's part of that 30-minute rule to avoid the theta from absolutely just killing me. And for swing trades, I look for 30 to 45 days to expiration. You can cut that if availability based on the option chain doesn't allow you to get that 30 to 45 days. You can cut that down to about 20 days. But if you're going to be in a swing trade for 10 of 20 days, it starts to get a little dicey as far as the acceleration of data. So this is the outline of the trading plan that I use to start to get the reps to keep my account balance under control on a small account so I could get repetitions, practice becoming a trader. I have now done 1,800 round trips, so it allows a good number of reps. This gets kind of through that initial educational period. Completing the mental loop, how am I feeling emotionally? What's the character of the trend I'm trading? Am I making money? If not, why? Sometimes I just don't see it, and if so, I don't trade. Walking away from the PC or futzing around on the internet is a viable trading strategy. Today, I got my gains, and that's basically what I did. I looked for more opportunities for later this week on the unusual options activity monitoring, but that was what I did. I started looking forward instead of going in and over trading today and just giving back what I gained. This works with any particular strategy, as long as it's a inherently profitable one, and it's applied consistently. Here's what I use: unusual option activity. and then the Alpha Shark proprietary strategies that I've developed. Those are market tide, rate of change, and sequence shark. This represents 2 years worth of work. So over those 2 years, I have come up with those three strategies, and they're each different. And we're going to go over what's different, how they compare and contrast. They are designed to be used together. And I do have, we do have room members and clients, customers that have all three and use them together. And you'll see an evolution. Market tide was first, rate of change was second, sequence shark was third. And you'll see they become more and more focused on getting the trader better tools to work with options in particular. Now, the unusual options example, essentially what we do at Alpha Shark, we have a live 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday trading room moderated by four traders with very different styles. We're all monitoring this unusual option tool. We are looking for strange directional trades of good size, and even better if they're on symbols we've never heard of, but are still liquid enough to get in and get out of. So for example, on Friday, over the course of about 2.5 hours, I noticed four times people came for 2,000 contract or higher call buy orders that were directional. So they were not spreads. And so I took the snap signal after about the fourth one, and snap had sold off some at that point as well and gave me a better entry. And then I just sat on it and waited. And when I hit that 50% profit target in terms of what I put into it, then I got out this morning. That's one example of how this works. So I use this in conjunction with my trading with technical analysis tools. All right, let's get into Thinkorswim and let's go over the three different strategies that I've developed. And I did my best to put them all on one toss screen so that we can kind of move through them all and show the differences. And let's see, I hope that's not visible. I'd like that to get out of the way. Not so sure I can. All right, so on the upper left is rate of change. The upper right is sequence shark. Lower left is sequence shark. And then lower right is market tide. Additionally, all of these include watch list scanning tools to help to find signals based on the technical analysis of each one. We're going to start with market tide. Market tide was the first one that I developed. And market tide is a recursion on a modified Weiss wave and was the first one that I came up with and includes this watch list set here to identify signals on names that I do not have charts up on. And it looks for certain levels of reversals on candle ranges over a certain period of time based on a 5-day average trading range. So if it reverses a percentage of a trading range, then it will give that signal. Additionally, it is offset. So that can be adjusted to allow for stronger signals for entry and then using weaker signals to get out. And the idea being we want the stronger signal for the entry and then we want to leave on a weakening signal. So for example, when I set it to 0.75% of an ATR, it only gives two signals on the upper, but notice how it gives more, in this case it did not, but it gives more frequent signals on the lower, which is set to a quarter of an ATR. And so this allows for the filter, the level of which I'm filtering, it allows me to customize it to how many signals I want to take. Now, the stronger the signal, the more reliable it is as the model is shown. And the weaker it is, the less reliable it is in terms of a percentage of an ATR. So today on the 5-minute on AMD, we closed on a downtrend. This activity here followed the market broadly speaking. AMD faded more than the broader market did. The broader market generally went more or less sideways. I think we got a little bit of buying late because we've seen today, and this is part of the theme of this, we've seen today some very active rotation, both on unusual option activity and on spiders into retail. Now, why is that? Well, people are looking for Christmas. Here's XRT. This is a spider that isn't one of the main ones, but is certainly useful. And I'll give you a few that I saw unusual option activity on today. So I saw Bed Bath & Beyond. I'm scoping Bed Bath & Beyond for tomorrow. I want to see it fade because it was so strong today that I did not want to get in and then have it pull back. I was looking for a little bit of a pullback. This, when you see this strong of a gain from 1263 to 1359, that was way outside of its normal ATR. All the action to the upside, I am willing to bet we're probably going to see a gap down tomorrow or at least a fade to start at some point throughout the day. We'll get some sort of a fade to give me an entry. Also, speaking about the holidays coming up, something really, really cool happened today. We've been waiting on this in our trading room for a hot minute, and I'll use this symbol to go ahead and segue into the next strategy because the daily chart is a little more useful here. And this is rate of change. And Amazon earnings came out, and And we have been waiting for Amazon to finally crack the top of this daily candle here in the 1760s range. Once it got under that, we were really concerned about this level here, the post-earnings level, and we've been waiting for it to crack that level. And today we finally did. Now notice the rate of change indicator is letting me know that we have a possible trend reversal here to the upside. Now, rate of change uses a modified combination derivative of Bollinger Bands and MACD to develop this ribbon that is very, very simple to use. I think I love how easy this is to use. As long as we've got green dots above the ribbon and the ribbon is wide, we stay with it. If we have the yellow dots here in the middle of the ribbon, we can choose to get in and take an aggressive position here, would have worked great to the downside, or we can wait until it's confirmed when we've gotten outside of the ribbon, but we don't see nearly as much of a gain. And then it gives us these signals here on the price chart to let us know the reversals using arrows and by color changing the candles. So we're in a downtrend if we're cyan, we're in an uptrend if we're yellow, and we're neutral if we're printing green and red. Notice that these green and reds tend to be choppy. We keep going through them, right? Goes back to that idea of what's the quality of the trend. But rate of change also incorporates option data in a major, major way. People have often seen on daily charts using something like Bollinger Bands or Keltner channels in order to come up with ranges at which to possibly enter short or long. This strategy uses option IV projection that is determined by a physics model to project potential IV out 21 days in the future. Now you can see it plot it here. So we've got a potential entry on Amazon by our trend indicator. We're at the lower part of this range. And remember, when we're trading options, particularly on something with an ATR as high as this, we do not need a huge move to the upside to see 50%, 100%, or if we get surprised, better. You hear about options trades where people get like 10 times gains. That does happen, but it's very rare. And usually that means that the person has got lucky with something. If they're managing their risk right, I personally don't see those very often at all, but I've kept my account alive starting with a small account for a couple of years. So if I see people taking gains like that, my immediate response is I know that they're taking too much risk and they're probably their account is in danger. It also includes this watchlist reversals, this watchlist tool that for all of the symbols on a watchlist gives us a potential move for the day. A one-day IV implied move gives us the price targets to the upside and the downside and then scans for reversal conditions like this in Amazon here. Now this is, again, by using that physics model, allows us to give that one-day implied move so that no matter where we are in the option chain, because the option chain is only giving us an implied move for 4 days out, 11 days out, 18, 25. Well, what about just one? The numbers are calculated here for us. So as you can see, as these evolve, we started getting more and more specific to options. The next one, and let's see. Yeah, I'm going at 30 minutes here, and I want to leave some time for some questions. The next one is our newest one, and it is the most ambitious. At AlphaShark, when we develop an idea, we never leave it at version one. So MarketTide finished out at version 3. It is done. Rate of change finished out at version 2. It is done. The next one I'm going into is on version 1. And we literally started distributing it a week ago. And we evolve and automatically update all of our strategies until it's wrapped up. Because I'm not going to, Lance, who I work with, we're not going to identify everything and have it perfect at the get-go. It's just not going to happen. And so we get feedback from people. Like I got feedback today on how to modify the scanner for Sequence Shark to make it a little bit more usable. But we're going to go ahead and go to Sequence Shark. And then I have it up on multiple timeframes here to show that these are built to scale with whatever time frame you're using them on. So if we want day trades and scalps, we can use them on the 5 or the 15. And if we want swing trades, we can use them on the hourly or the daily. Now, Sequence Shark uses trend following as well in order to automatically plot support and resistance levels for me. That's the first part of the tool set here. However, I'm going to simplify this out because it is a far more ambitious one. I'm going to bring this down to just a little bit easier to see. And this also shows that when we build stuff, we build it to be very customizable, both in terms of colors and how detailed we want things to be. All right, so we're still on the Amazon here. We're on a 15-minute chart on Amazon. And this uses a modification for Sequence. It started with basically an indicator in toss, and then we took it to the way the next level. And this draws support and resistance levels for us and allows me to monitor the concurrence of support and resistance levels. Additionally, the math and logic is built such that it can identify support becoming resistance and it can identify resistance becoming support. It's flexible either way. We combine this with an accumulation and distribution oscillator to double check the quality of our signals. And the beauty of this thing is that it allows us also to identify where it's choppy. It works very, very similar to a MACD. So it uses very, very different inputs. I personally don't like MACDs by themselves. I just don't. This uses different inputs and allows us to see when we're getting good divergence here. But it also gives us this overall trend here to the downside. So we can see that here there's accelerating distribution here that calms down a little bit, but we still have a general downtrend. Then we have accumulation for a short while that accelerated very, very quickly. And the wider this gets or the sharper we see these kind of spikes are like hooks with other oscillators. And again, we can see the trend and the acceleration of the trend. But we can also see things like this, like the downtrend popped and price action popped, but it did not get a reversal. And we're able to very, very quickly pull this out. Then we can see where we're getting solid, substantial reversals here. And on Amazon, in our room, we've been waiting on it to crack that level. We've been stubbornly waiting on it to do it. Now, this tool is also built to use these support and resistance levels to identify risk reward percentages for either going long or short at that point in time based on these sequence resistance and support levels. And where signals get even stronger is when they come together like this. So this level here has support and resistance right on top of each other. And we finally got out of this choppy range bound stuff and got a trend to the upside here on our 15 minute chart. So what I'm looking for now is potential exhaustion levels. And it tells me, based on these tags up here, that the risk reward of going either way. Additionally, where this gets pretty kind of cool is that I can plug in a specific option contract on this chart and analyze the risk reward of that option contract, because a delta 50, the option contracts that I started with, pretty much mirror the risk reward on a long entry or a short entry on the price chart of the underlying. But over time, if it becomes in the money, or if you want to take in the money or out of the money options, the risk reward for a particular option is very, very different than the risk reward is on the underlying chart. And I can put that information in here and see that. So AMD, we got to a high. Let's see. AMD, we closed at 40.08. And this 38 December call has a risk reward much, much different than my risk reward for a long or a short position here. Or excuse me, December put. It has a very, very different risk reward. All right. So that was, we thought, okay, this is pretty cool. But what about tools to identify particular options to trade if we find a symbol that we want? And so we added in a watchlist scanner for specific option contracts. And the way that we get these specific option contracts is we go over to tools. Excuse me, we go to scan. It's been a long day. And we go to Option Hacker, which is different than the Option Hacker that is its own standalone product. And it allows us to scan all option contracts based on a watchlist that narrows the underlying symbols down, or built-in watchlist, or we can scan the entire market. Now, there is a caveat here. TD Ameritrade caps the number of quotes you can get per day. It limits those quotes. And so we want to, although it's tempting to scan the entire market here, if I don't limit it based on some sort of criteria, I'm going to get so many returns that it's not even really necessarily usable. And I'm going to blow up my quote limit with TD Ameritrade, and they're not going to let me get any more quotes for the day. So one might ask, well, wait a minute. How many do we have? I'm not going to redo it to pull the entire market, but we've closed post-market. So that messes with the option data in TD Ameritrade. I pulled this from earlier today. We have over 1 million option contracts we can scan from. And so what I do is I limit it based on a watch list here. So I was looking for, in this one, I was looking for, in particular, option contracts that were overbought or oversold on the NASDAQ top 10 most active. So it limits it to 10 symbols. And even within that limit to 10 symbols, it has several thousand option contracts, because the more active ones are going to have far more contracts available. Now, lower liquidity stuff, less contracts have been written. Then we can take this, put it into our watchlist scanner here, and it has a range that can be charted on the actual option chart itself that it scans for on an active basis in that particular contract, it to be significantly overbought or significantly oversold, so that we know that is a good contract to scoop. So we can tailor with some practice, we can tailor once we've gotten used to trading options with the Delta 50s, we can tailor it to pick up the better option contract that has been over, that has been essentially a little bit mispriced. For those of you that want a little tip and don't know that you can do that in Thinkorswim, I'm going to go ahead and walk you through today how to chart a specific option contract, because this is getting into some ability with the scanner here that is, or with Thinkorswim that's kind of advanced. So I'm going to walk you through how to do that real quick. How do I look at a particular option contract? Let's see, on this one, I've got an AMD call over here. So I'm going to pull an AMD put. Let's go to our option chain here. We go under trade grid. There's AMD. And let's look, let's find the one we want. And we're going to right click. And it's actually a lot simpler than you think. You can do it two different ways. Well, there's actually more ways than that. You can do it from a watch list. You can do it from scan results. You can do it from quote results. But this is the most direct and simple way to do it. You can either send it to whatever color automatic links you have, or you can copy the symbol here and you can paste it into a chart with Control V. So I'm going to paste the put here. And as we can see, it's a very different chart than the call because we're struggling a little bit here. So that's one tip for those of you that are newer to Thinkorswim, how you can actually chart the actual price action on an option itself. And then I'm going to show you one more thing that's really kind of hidden and can be incredibly powerful when looking at options. And it would surprise you how easy it is to find. You can go to options, time, and sales here in Thinkorswim in order to see what the time and sales were live updated, whether it's bid side, ask side, or mid side of any contract on the option chain. Now, today's biggest orders was a little bit bizarre. AMD 4,200 contracts of the May 60 calls in AMD. And so for unusual option activity, that gets a little bit of a head scratcher. What are they doing with that? Well, it's mid-market. So what that tells me is that's an institution. No retail trader is going to be able to get that many contracts unless it's done on the mid, unless it is done over the phone. Market at the time was 71 by 75. They got it for 73. That's on the mid. That's an institution. If it's a 60 call on something that has never seen 60 and is currently trading around 38 to 40, then what is our next deduction here? Well, our next deduction is that's probably a hedge. They're buying time. They're hedging a position. They're buying all the way out to May, which in terms of number of days is, we'll go back up to our chain here, 172 days of insurance on a position for 73 cents a share. Seems to be like a pretty good deal. All right, so I will gladly take any questions that you might have, but for some more information, if you want to find, right before we do that, if you want to get information on the live trading room, email andrew@alphashark.com. All our trading room members were very hands-on with, and it's very pretty personal inside of our room. We take a great deal of pride on that. If you want to learn more about alphashark.com itself, it's alphashark.com/options-trading-blog. We have literally 400 or 500 pages of posts there. I can be contacted, brian@alphashark.com, and I believe David has a link to all of my webinars that go over the period of literally the last year and change. As we go into more detail on these strategies, on the trading plan, and these indicators with more specific examples on how to use them, just probably at this point, 100 hours just for me. And with that, I think I'm about done and happy to take any questions here. I wanted to land it at 45 and I did. All right, so let's see, Anka, I guess if you want to open up to questions, I'll be happy.
All right, there are no questions right now.
Okay.
Any questions, guys? Brian, it was a super amazing webinar, super informative.
All right, well, I appreciate it.
All right, just remember, if anyone has any further questions, you can email brian@alphashark.com or andrew@alphashark.com. And remember that David here has posted the link to a lot of the webinars here. And again, guys, if you have any questions, feel free to ask them now in the room. We still have plenty of time. So very quiet audience. All right, David, I think this concludes today's live event.
Oh, now two questions just came in.
Oh, okay.
So the first question is how much to join? Email andrew@alphashark.com for quotes on the room. because we have many regulars that subscribe for different periods of time. And so it's a quote based thing. We are very competitive on our pricing. I will say that. When one receives the indicator, is everything set up or do we have to set it all up? When you receive the indicator, it comes on an email distribution template that has several things that are there and available for you to click on. It has instructional videos on how to use it. It has instructional videos on how to set it up. And we've made it as simple as we can to set it up by distributing the study files themselves, but for setting up the scanners, those are done with Thinkorswim sharing links. And so you import those sharing links and then simply activate them in the watch list or in the Option Hacker scanner. So, and then the settings as far as the indicators themselves, I've set them all to some defaults that are generally the wider used ones. And so really for people to go in there and mess around too much, it really is that they find a need to, like the colors might interfere with colors on something else they're using. So they may change that if they have a specific need to.